All right, Jay's back in action tonight. Big win last night, and Vladdy had another great night at the plate. Robbie Ray, 10 strikeouts, and he looked good. You got Rio going tonight. So we'll catch up with Steve Phillips here in a moment. Byron Nelson picks coming up a little bit later on, a new format that the O-Dog is going to unveil. We were talking with that Daniel Rappaport last week. Mm-hmm. And did you see his tweet recently about what Roger Goodell plans on doing?
Dude, well, first of all, it's not possible. He was going to play Pine Valley, Augusta National, and Cypress in one day. How are you going to do that?
I don't see how it's possible unless you're playing nine. Like, if that's the point of it. You play nine, you start at like 6:30 at Pine Valley. You're teeing off at Augusta by noon. You're catching 3 hours going to the West Coast to Pebble. I don't know. It just seems so unnecessary.
Private bird waits for you. You can do it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Three holes, maybe, but you're not playing 18 at all three. Anyway.
How about just Pine Valley and Augusta? That seems like a pretty good
day. Leave it at that.
Seems like a pretty good day. I'll bet you Phillips has played, I don't know if he's a golfer, but if he is, he's played one of them. He's played one of them for sure. Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB analyst. Are you a golfer, Steve?
Well, I tell you what, unless there's a windmill on the golf course or you're putting between the gorilla's legs, I'm not much of a golfer. Now, listen, I am really good at the ricochet shots and hitting it through the loop to try to get the hole in one. But otherwise, not much of a golfer. Although I will say that I've been to Augusta, and there's a minor league team in Augusta, and the guy who was the general manager there was the assistant general manager when I played the minor leagues for the Mets in Lynchburg, Virginia. And his next door neighbor was the head groundskeeper at Augusta. And so he said, hey, you know, you want to come out tomorrow morning with me, with my neighbor? We went out, got on the golf cart, got a private tour of Augusta. And it was at the time that they were tigerizing the course, where Tiger had dominated so much that they were moving tee boxes around and doing what they could to make it tougher. And this guy took me all around the golf course on a golf cart, and it was such a spectacular day. Even like I like to watch golf, and I do like to golf. I don't get out a lot, but what a day that was for me to go around Augusta, just enjoy that day. It was spectacular.
Yeah, that says something about the course where I'm with you. I would prefer to play it, but a tour, I'll take it. Like, I'll happily just cruise around in a cart and check out all the angles because we've seen it on TV as many times as we have over the years with Steve Phillips. So the Jays, you know, nice come-from-behind win last night, rally in the eighth, and hold on. And Robbie Ray with another quality outing. I mean, his stats are pretty quality. He's got about a 3.5 ERA. He had 10 strikeouts last night. When he misses, it can get ugly. I mean, he gave up two home runs last night. But he's given them everything you could possibly want and ask for, where he's predictable, he's healthy, he throws smoke, he knows who he is, he knows what he is, and he's been a pretty good find for them so far this year.
Oh, I tell you what. I mean, he's doing what everybody has tried to do with him, and that is getting him to throw strikes. You know, he would always walk guys, and so the home run would be a three-run homer. And now that he's always been tough to hit, but if he gives up a home run, he'd walk two or three guys. You know, he'd end up with a three-run shot against him, and it'd always come back and haunt him, yet he'd be that guy that would tease you because you'd look at his stuff and think, he's got swing and miss stuff. And what the Blue Jays are doing is what nobody's been able to do, and that's the ability to harness his stuff and to get him to throw it over the plate. And so, 10 strikeouts were impressive. The one walk was the thing that I came away with as more impressive than anything is his ability to throw strikes right now. And one of the best moves that was made in the offseason wasn't the Blue Jays just signing Robbie Ray. It was signing him early. So they had him last year, but they re-signed him really early in the offseason, and it gave him time to work with the pitching coaches, work with the staff, work with his ability to see the analytics, the video, to refine his delivery, and it's paying dividends right now. They needed one of these guys, two of these guys, really, to become predictable starters behind Hyun-Jin Ryu. And he certainly is emerging as one of those guys. Steven Matz, maybe if he can get himself back on track and pick up off his last start.
Steve, yesterday I was discussing asset management, not just how you move players and trades and things like that, but your own assets, like Nate Pearson, the way the transaction went, with kind of rushing him up, and he obviously stunk the joint out, and then immediately being sent down. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I just didn't think that particular asset management, it just kind of had an ugly vibe to it. It's just from a former player. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I think, you know what it is that it gives the feeling that you don't know what you're doing as
That's
an organization.
Right.
And it's not true, but from a player's perspective, it makes you think, well, what are you doing? You guys know what you're doing here? Like, you called him up thinking he was ready. He clearly wasn't ready. How did you not know that? You guys know what you're doing. Now, you know, in part, that's the player has to do his part in it, too.
Correct.
But I completely get what you're saying. Completely get it. It's really a great point. And I wrote my column last week that, you know, he'd be up maybe by Memorial Day, the end of the month. I was shocked when they brought him up and started him. Now, I know he had pitched 70-some pitches, but that to me doesn't mean he's ready. That just means his arm's getting in shape. But his problem isn't his arm right now. His problem's his head. Like his inability to throw strikes isn't about mechanical stuff. It's about a willingness to throw it over the plate. It's a willingness to say, my stuff is good enough. I have confidence that I can just throw it over the plate, and it doesn't matter what the other team and who they are. I'm going to get them out because my stuff is good enough, and pitching with conviction. He wasn't ready for that, and that's the part. So you're right. Now, there's nothing you can do once you realize you made the mistake to call him up. You then have to try to figure out what's the right thing to do, and it was the right thing to send him back down. The mistake was calling him up. The mistake wasn't sending him down. But you're 100% right that it gives the players who are in the big leagues the impression that, like, you guys know what you're doing here? Like, why did you not know? Like, he was clearly not ready. And so all you can do is regroup and try not to do it again. We've all made that mistake, but it does give that impression, 100% right.
Well, and I wonder how Alek Manoah might be feeling about what you just said, because he's the next guy in line. You know, up here in Toronto, everyone's talking about Manoah. It's always, you know, who's the big arm in AAA that looks good? And what this is amplifying is what we knew all along, that the rotation isn't very good. You know, and outside of Ryu, outside of Robbie Ray recently, they've got a bottom three rotation in the American League based on the stats. They don't throw a lot of strikes, and their ERA is bloated. So they're desperate. They believe they got a good team. They're above 500. They have to keep up with the wagons like the Yankees and the Sox. So they're trying to find arms, you know, and that's, I think, really what happened there with Pearson, and they realized immediately it blew up in their face. So how does it apply to Alek Manoah? Do you apply the same logic? What do you think they're going to do here?
Well, I think each case is individual. So, look, Manoah, I don't think will be up before the All-Star break. I think, because I think he needs some, I understand the alternate site last year helped guys. He needs some game readiness. And what you want is, you know, the idea that I always kept in mind is, am I setting up a player to succeed when I'm bringing him to the major leagues, a young guy? And I don't think that you could justify that with the Pearson move of bringing him up when you did. For Manoah, I want him to pitch well in the minor leagues, put up numbers, and get himself ready. Now, one of the things that's somewhat difficult, a little easier maybe for a starting pitcher, is calling a guy up from AA is different than calling a guy up from AAA because of the health and safety protocols. At AAA, they're the same at the major league level. They're not at AA. And so I think that you know, players are going to have to get groomed. I want Manoah to just not even think about it. I mean, I know he's going to think about it, but I'm not going to think about him right now. I've got enough arms to try to – all of the guys they have still have the ability to get locked in. Now, I don't – they're not predictable going to do that, but I think they still have the ability to do it. So I think the focus for the Jays should not be on Manoah other than get him groomed, get him experienced, and try to fix the other guys to get them on track, because they all have some level of ability to get – like Steven Matz looked like he was gangbusters right from the start. Then he did that thing that I saw a lot in New York where it sort of gets away from him a little bit, but he's made some progress, and if you can get him back on track with Ray, with Ryu, you've got some protection there, and then you want to fortify, get some healthy arms in that bullpen, and then let Pearson get right and come back up, and he's protected – more as the number four guy than having to be one of your top three starters.
With Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter, Jays back in action tonight in Atlanta. Vladdy went yard again last night, opposite field, and I think that felt like somewhat of a significant moment for him in terms of his ability to get the barrel on the ball. He's strong. You know, we've talked about launch angle a lot throughout his career. It's early into his career, clearly. But sometimes you just let the ball do the work, the barrel do the work, and that's what it looked like to me last night. Like, he didn't launch that thing into left field. That was kind of an excuse-me home run almost. But he's powerful enough, he's smart enough, he's got, you know, plate discipline to pull that off, and that's exactly what happened last night.
Yeah, that's the swing you watch him in batting practice, and he can take, where you're not really even thinking about trying to hit a home run. You're just driving the ball, and let's say, you know, I want to drive the ball to right center field, and that's what he ends up doing. To me, it's not a surprise that he stepped it up a bit in the first game against the Braves. This is, this is for him. He's competing to help the Blue Jays win, but he's competing against Ronald Acuna Jr. In his mind, there's that competition going on in this series too. And now Acuna homered as well. But I think those two, and I think more for Vlad, because, you know, Acuna's done it. He's done it on his own without having to take on another young star. And I think for Acuna, that competition has been with Juan Soto, where we've seen that going back and forth a bit in the National League East. But I think for Vlad, there's part of him wanting to say, I'm like you, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr., I'm like you, Juan Soto, I'm like you, and this is a showcase for him. And so, you know, he had those 11 days between home runs, and that's just baseball that happened. But I think he rose to another level, and I think you're going to continue to see that in this series.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And watching the two of them go back and forth is as entertaining as it's going to get. And, you know, it's Acuna, he was pretty quiet when they were down in Dunedin, but he came alive last night, needless to say. And Marcell Ozuna, this selfie celebration after he hits home runs.
Isn't it outrageous?
It's a sign of things changing, though. Like, all I can think of is a guy like Goose Gossage just throwing his TV off the wall.
I think I told you about that Selly last year in the playoffs in San Diego. I was like, I can't believe this guy actually stopped at first and took a selfie.
It's outrageous. It's crazy. But that's his thing, Steve.
The greatest thing ever. I do it after every interview with you guys now. I mean, I think it's the greatest celebration ever.
Right. That's his move.
I mean, it really, and here's the thing. We're getting to a point where pitchers aren't that bothered anymore about it. As long as you're not doing it at, like, the bat flip, as long as you're not staring at the pitcher flipping your bat, they understand that it's a celebration going on. And we're getting a little bit closer. Now, that's a little much. I completely agree with you. And yet, you know what? Nobody seems to be too bothered by it. And here's the thing. Like, Ozuna has really not had a great season so far, but he's so fun to watch because he loves to play the game. He's still playful and kidding around, and I just love watching that. When a guy's not playing great and he's still the same personality, that is a great sign. He's going to come out of it. Lindor is kind of the same way in New York. You know, Francisco Lindor, as much as he struggled in New York, he cheers for his teammates and never hangs his head. And, boy, that's a message to kids everywhere that, you know, when things aren't going well, just keep your head up, keep battling, and you show far more about who you are when things are going poorly than when things are going well.
Yep, absolutely. Should be a fun slate of games tonight. Enjoy them, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, terrific. Thanks, guys. There's Here comes Steve, the selfie.
Yeah, go fire one off and send it to us, please. There's Steve Phillips, our TSN Jays analyst. Yeah, the selfie at first, that's his move.
But how do you think the pitcher feels? Like,
Bauer said it best two weeks ago. He said, you want to hit a homer in the big leagues? Go ahead. I'm not throwing at you.
Trevor Bauer's being a hero. I'm talking about somebody who's not a hero. You know what I mean? Like, that's my point. Somebody who's mainstream. And you got a guy, you don't have to be old school, but just, I think there's a line. I don't know who it would be, but that
one's close to it. That one is close to it.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just think that
here's what I would say though about it is it clearly is not selective. So
right.
I think if it was a one-off, you'd be like, oh, you're doing that to me.
Right.
But, you know, let's say he hits one off Clayton Kershaw, who is, you know, a living legend, or Scherzer, you know, a veteran guy who's been around, who's done it all, seen it all. He's going to do that to Kershaw. He's going to do it to Nate Pearson if he gets him.
Right.
You know, like, and I think that is what probably allows it, is that he does it consistently. He does it every time. It's not selective. So it's not like you can personally, you know, build it up as if the guy's going at you or trying to mock you.
Right.
But, you know, a selfie is, it's straddling the line of what you would expect someone at some point to say, you know what, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Yeah, it, like, to be fair to him, he hit a bomb last night, like off the barrel of the bat. You knew that thing was gone. But
yeah, you're right. And, you know, I get it. And times have changed. I don't want to come off sounding like a dinosaur. It's just that would get the juices flowing like that. And then all of a sudden, like the next time he comes up and you're the pitcher, you're like, oh, you want to do that? Like,
absolutely.
Let's put one inside here, see how you feel. But then now it gets into the – now the pitcher has all the power to potentially hurt a batter because his feelings are hurt because of it. It's like the chicken or the egg. Like, I just – you know, I get it, and I don't mind people showboating, but there are some people that will take exception to that, and now you've got to police them. They take exception to it, and they throw it inside.
Right, and that is the history of – you know, retribution or retaliation, right, which whatever you want to call it, is you show me up, then I'm going to hit you, or I'm going to hit your teammate. You know, a lot of times that happens too. You're the next guy up. I'm not waiting all the way around. Next guy up, I'm going to hit to send the message. But I think it's more, and I've never heard of a player or a batter, I should say, complain when a pitcher goes crazy, because there's been a long history of that. Like, I would suggest that should be the stance from Ozuna, and I'm sure it would be. You strike me out, you fist pump 15 times, go for it.
Right.
You know, but strike me out. If I hit a bomb, if I hit a home run off you, probably only going to hit 25 maybe this year, you know.